It's the True Faith Podcast. I'm Alex Hurst in the car home with Ben Wade and Simon Campbell from Newcastle United 2, Burton 0. Lads, 2-0 win, very comfortable. Ben?
Yeah.
Obviously, great penalty by Matt Ritchie. And then a fucking fantastic second goal, and we've taken 6 points out of six for the night. For the weekend. Ben, you go left? No. Oh, right, you're going right. There's those indicators.
Just giving the listeners what they want.
So, I mean, we'll start off with team selection. Don't know, Si, pretty bold attacking stuff from Rafa, would you agree? Can you pass you the phone?
I don't know, I'm not sure, because for me it just looked exactly the same as any other game. It was obviously 4-2-3-1 or whatever, what do we call this formation? It was nice to see Diarmé.
Exactly what you call it.
Oh, yeah. Accurate,
it was nice to see Diarmé go into midfield, because he's maybe struggled a bit at number 10, and more importantly, I just think that Chelvey and Colback was getting very stale in home matches. I don't see Atsu as a positive change. I think he's given him a run out as opposed to him actually being that good. But that was my opinion pre-match. What was the other change? And Bembo was the big shock.
Yeah.
But again, that's not really an attacking change. So no, I don't think there's any more positive in terms of, oh, it's Burton, so we'll put a more attacking team out. I think he's just made some changes, and it was tactical more than anything. He's gone for a more wide, pacey game, which didn't really work in the end. And we've just had to win by other means again.
Yeah, Ben, you disagree with something Si said there?
Just everything. I think there was proper intent in that team. I think he went attacking, obviously. Diarmé, when he has been playing in that role, it's allowed Chelvey to go a bit higher up the pitch and a bit sort of get more involved further up. And I think he seems to have had a bigger impact than Colback does in the games. I think he's more willing, Diarmé as well, to push on a bit further forward when we can. I think Mbembe is probably the best footballing centre-back we've got on the team. He's the one that's willing to bring the ball out. So again, I think that was an attacking intent to allow. He obviously, he's seen our Wigan set-up last week, and he thought, well, how are we going to combat? Who's going to get the most time on the ball? It's going to be the centre-backs. And then I just think as well, the Atsu change, I think it was just, again, he's going to be more attacking than Gouffran. Gouffran, for all his sort of credit we give him, he's played in many games this season where he's not really done a lot other than his defensive duties, and you need a player, at least in Atsu. Yes, his final ball was really poor tonight, but at least he's going to have a go at defenders and commit them. And I think what you saw was the result of him running at a fullbacks all night meant they were shattered. Like, they started to tire really badly towards the second and end of the second half. And I think it was just a spot on. In terms of all the changes he made, I think obviously one or two have maybe not turned out as well as he might have hoped, but
right.
At the end of the day, we've got the result.
Thanks. So
you're welcome.
Yeah, so I mean, so going back, I probably agree with Ben more than Si. I thought it was kind of his attempt to really try and play on the front foot at home. Obviously, we didn't play it too up front, which will have horrified some. But, you know, I thought the game started
That's
off...
as close as you'll get, though.
Yeah, that is as close as you'll get. Perez just kind of floating around doing out behind Gale. More on him later. So the team selection was very positive. It shocked me sitting in the Trent. I was like, when you showed us a team, I was like, fucking hell. Even for Rafa, that's a bit bold. But I think the Mbemba one did shock us quite a lot. And, you know, I will have to say, we're kind of... I said this in my preview. I actually went 1-0 on the match preview for True Faith. And it was 1-0. I'll drop the gag now about it being 2-0. 1-0 Newcastle tonight, which we'll come on to in a bit. But Burton reminded me of the first time I ever saw Sam Allardyce team. I was 14. I think it was season 03-04. And we drew 0-0 at home. And it was that kind of... They had their back four. They had their two banks of four. And back then, Allardyce had been playing two up front. But they put the wingers in front of the fullbacks, and they basically have just got two fullbacks. And, you know, surprised me when Allardyce did it that we had Robert and Solano on the wings, and he was just like, have it, lads. You want to cross the ball? Fucking go for it, be my guest. Don't care how good your delivery is. We're not going to concede any headers in the box. And that worked for Burton quite well tonight. You know, what didn't work for us maybe in the first 15 minutes is that Christian Atsu's crossing is worse than Paul Dummett's. And they tried that Birmingham tactic a few weeks ago, where they basically were just like, left side, have it, lads. Go on, you have it, lads. We're not going to close you down. Dermot put some really good balls in the box first 15 or two.
Bombing on as well. He actually like looks like he wanted to get forward tonight. And he was really giving it a go.
We'll say it now. I thought Paul Dummett was absolutely fantastic tonight. Yeah, I mean, brilliant. I need to get some clips from us in 2014-15, absolutely slating him. Like, what a performance. Like, he did not wrong. He's becoming a leader more and more. There was a moment at the end of the second half when we were 1-0 up, when one of their many, many, many big lads, one of the biggest teams I've seen, like lads like 6'4" playing fullback, went and just stood on Anita at the back post and was like, me, Paul, without any problem from the bench, without any problem from any other players in the team, went over and took that man and was like, you get yourself away, Vernon. and then funnily enough, the lad had a free header and nearly scored in Burton's only chance, but it's the thought that counts from Paul.
He spotted the danger.
But yeah, lads, I mean, we played all right. I thought we moved the ball well enough, and I thought it was a good performance. 35 minutes or so, Si, the penalty. I don't even know where to start with this. Do you want to try and put some words to it for the listeners?
At this moment, I mean, we've not had the benefit of any replays or any kind of TV analysis or anything. We've seen a bit of Twitter. No one seems to know what's happened. We, between the three of us, don't know what's happened yet, do we?
Brilliant. Thank you, Sally, for clearing that up.
So, I mean, first of all, should we talk about the penalty award itself? Because I thought it looked very soft.
I thought Dwight Gale took it.
Very theatrical dive to the floor. He probably got nicked. So
I don't think it was that side. I think near Vardy, he just hoied his legs into the defender.
Yeah.
Who was like?
But then he also launched himself off the ground. But okay, penalty awarded. I think the referee's already thinking, "Ooh, was that a bit soft?"
All right.
The
pen, then.
Yeah. So you thought him and the linesman between them look a bit worried just at that point. He's taking the pen. From like every penalty that's ever been taken for the last about 10 years, there's always one or two players making their way into the box. So I'm not having that this could be anything to do with encroachment.
That's a retake.
It's also a retake.
Twitter has confirmed that would be a retake.
Yeah, but either way, there was players from both teams coming into the box, as they do nearly every pen. What we think might have happened, and what one of my pals who's a referee thinks, is that if there was at any point from when the ball is kicked to the ball going over the line that a foul was committed, then that could be given as a free kick to the opposition. And so yeah, it looks like there's a little bit of tugging from one of our players and their players in the kind of encroaching into the box. But beyond that, I haven't got a clue.
I'd love to know the referee explaining though how he managed to see foul on the edge of the box and see the penalty which was happening behind him because he was looking the other way.
Surely he's got to be watching the pen.
Exactly.
So on Twitter, I mean, by the time you lot listen to this, it might have been explained or something, but we are totally in the dark. Everyone in the ground. Oh, it's funny, I was getting texts and messages from people during the game saying, what was that for? And it's like, well, if yous don't fucking know, I don't know, because we don't have access to like replays, obviously, in the ground. But people are just so bemused by it. But as you say, Si, if it's given for a foul, of which replays, kind of journalists are suggesting, they've seen replays, there is no foul. If you've given a foul when the ball is in play, which is from when the ball leaves the penalty spot to goes in the goal.
I'm just getting through from Twitter now.
Go on, Si.
Brian Swanson, this guy.
Fucking hell, it's gone big, Brian Swanson.
Yeah.
We're back.
But apparently the referee has given an indirect free kick for encroachment by mistake.
Fucking hell, and that's obviously so an indirect free kick for encroachment. That's why Rafa and his pals are going so tits on the sidelines. Funny moment happened at half time, this probably wasn't picked up, is Rafa sent one of the coaching staff on with an iPad to show the ref. Like, great forward thinking that from a forward thinking manager. There's a well-known...
Jamie couldn't do it at the fucking time.
And a well-known Newcastle fan who may or may not wear a colourful wig. I was in the bog at half-time, and that actually went further along the Gallagher because the corner bogs were busy, as per. And this fan came in. Obviously, I thought he was coming in for a piss. And just went, lads, it's a fix. They want to keep what we're doing here. It will make them too much money from the telly. And walked out. didn't need a piss, didn't just like doing the bog. He's like, right, I've done the East Stand, that's ticked off, just to say it's a fucking conspiracy theory. But fair play to the referee. I mean, he had to find one way to fucking try and fuck with as hard as the other refs have in this league.
Do you know what it is? It's Bobby bloody Madley getting all his bloody chickens coming to roost after he couldn't manoeuvre the bloody 1-1 draw against Brighton. He's got his pal, the fucking Rangers, try and get with a drop against Burton. So
Dwight Gayle had a great chance as well, which he should have scored straight after the pen. Si, you thought the atmosphere was quite good tonight, so do you think that decision had a lot to do with that in terms of the crowd sticking with the team?
I mean, yeah, we've said it before, as soon as something happens, an incident, a bad foul, a red card or a decision, it does get the crowd lifted, especially on a Wednesday night, home to Burton. There was about 48,000 there tonight, bit of a lower crowd than the last few games. Yeah, but I thought, that aside, before the penalty decision, so what was it, 35 minutes in, there wasn't really any, even though it was the exact same start to a game as we had against Wigan, and there was people getting a bit frustrated there, and it's the exact same start to a game we've had since Christmas, basically. You know, we've met with a team that's pressing high and working really hard and restricting our chances, and Burton did exactly the same, and we didn't really create much in the first half now, but we kept on the plan.
They had an out, did they?
They did an out, and we had nothing to worry about. We just kept our passing game. We had all the ball, just possession. And as Ben said before, by about 60 minutes, it started to pay off. And I think maybe people are even starting to realise that, you know, this is how we play. We grind teams down, and then the second half, we take our chances, and it's starting to work.
You were going to go into the Rafa speech there. We stick together.
Yeah,
but I think the crowd stuck with it tonight, and yeah, maybe the incident did help. It kind of distracted from getting frustrated at the players. There was one public enemy today, and it was the ref. So,
who was he?
I've
Stroud,
Keith Stroud.
Fucking hell.
Ben, you're in the wrong lane here.
I'm not.
Yeah, this is for the 19. Unless we're going on the tunnel.
No, we're going over there.
Ben's right. There's only two lanes at the minute.
Doggo, learn to drive, pal, with your bloody advanced driving and all the rest of the shite you got.
Back to the football. So obviously half time came and the whole of half time was just like, what the fuck. When I went down to the concourse, I spoke to a few people who were again just like, what on earth, like, no one has ever seen anything like this. There is no precedent for this on a football pitch. It's like one of them things the lad said to me at half time quite well. Like, it's not even one of the things that you've seen on telly, like something mental in a South American game or something, I don't know. Like, if
this hasn't even been on like Nick Hancock's Football Hell or something, yeah, like that.
But poor poor Matt Ritchie.
I'm sorry, that's just a ridiculous like reference. Nick Hancock's fucking Football Hell.
We control the ball, we really started pressing the keeper. The keeper's made a really good save from Diarmé. We've had some other chances. And then eventually it comes Matt Ritchie, absolutely fantastic goal. And we've said it before, Matt Ritchie, this kind of running part of the season, what an absolute player he is, coming in from the left top corner. And I don't know about you lads, but I kind of thought it was never in doubt from that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, completely agree.
Is that his 15th goal now?
15 goals the season for.
Return that, fair play.
From Matt Ritchie.
Brilliant. But yeah, no, it was just, I think. I mean, you were saying you were really impressed with Burton tonight, and the word like the setup like. To be tough to beat, and they were exactly that, but they had very little going forward. And I just think once we got the breakthrough, I mean, we should have had it from the penalty earlier on, we could have won by any number after that, but yeah, as you said, just once we got that goal, they didn't. We, to be honest, we sort of sat back and started playing a little bit silly, like giving the ball away, and we sort of, if they'd have been a decent team, we might have put ourselves into a bit of trouble, but there was just no real threat. I think there was one free kick that to the back post that Darlow's made a brilliant save from, but other than that, he's done very little.
That free kick, the bench was going nuts, saying back post, pointing frantically, all of them pointing towards the back post, saying, lads, we need more at the back post, more at the back post. What, four men in the wall for a ball that was always going to get thrown at the back post?
And Rafa just looked absolutely furious after the free kick, after Dollars had to make a save, as I say.
I know what you mean about the dicking about at the end. Like, Chancel was particularly guilty of causing panic. It was like when Ben, I think I said to you when I walking up the ground, I was like, I think Chancel will do alright as long as he doesn't have any fucking catastrophic moments.
Which he didn't, so he did absolutely fine.
He flirted with chaos. But it was good to see him back in the team. He's had a hard season. You know, everyone thought Mitrovic and Chancellor would be two of the main lads this season, and they just haven't been anywhere near it.
I thought he did what he did really well was, which none of the other defenders can do, is he's quick enough that when a ball's played up, he sort of allows the defender back into him. He's quick enough to just get around the head of him and just nick the ball off him. None of the others ever do that, and he was getting on the front foot a lot of times and did really well nicking the ball back. Okay, there was a couple of miscommunications, I guess you'd call them, whereby he wasn't sure what was going on with Darlow. But I think, yes, okay, he's got to take a bit of blame for some of the stuff, but at the same time, I've just got a feeling I don't think Darlow gives a good enough shout a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Hello, yeah, well, Steve Austin.
No, Ben, it's not. I think he's done himself no harm. I think we'll see either Kieran Clark, who's just fit, or big Grant back for Saturday, like, particularly with Rhodes and what's the ex-Markham who's shite, Fletcher. Aye, but I thought, lads, it's not popular among some people, but I thought big Modiame played really well again, especially second half. It was a bit ropey in the first.
We've got any of the adjectives to players? We've got big Grant, big Mo, big Paul played well in nets.
They're all big, those lads, though. Big Mo. Si, what do you make of Diame's performance?
I thought he was very good. I think he gets a lot of unfair stick when in the first half we play like the way we do. So Diame's job in the first half is just to run around and tire out their players. He's not going to get much time on the ball. I mean, today, every time the ball was on him, there was two players like within inches of him straight away. And he's very good. He's got quick feet. He was moving the ball around as quickly as he can, laying it off to Shelby, one touch out to Richie or Atsu. And occasionally it doesn't come off because he's given no time at all. By the 60th minute, as is the way we play, he suddenly found himself in like 5-10 yards of space every time he got the ball, and he was able to bring it out, run into their half, run at defenders, find the right pass, have a bit more time on the ball to make the right pass and make some good cutting through balls. And I think it's his stamina and his kind of endurance that means that he can do that. He can do the first 60 minutes and then for the last half an hour still be really valuable to us. I just think he gets a bit of a hard time. He's playing the hardest position on the pitch in a Rafa formation, this number 10, because it's so important. And I think he's doing a good job.
Yeah. And today he looked comfortable in centre midfield. I'll still obviously start. It was a choice between you know, him and Hayden to start alongside Shelby would obviously be Hayden, but I think he's not a number 10. I think he's done his best in that position, and it kind of upsets me a bit, the stick he gets, but I'm just a sensitive soul. Meanwhile, Perez was really really ropey tonight again. I thought he didn't take his chance. There was some nice touches. There was a moment in the first half when Gale played him in with the outside of the foot really nicely, like loads of time, loads of space, and he put it into like row X of the Gallagher. That was disappointing. I don't know what to say about him, because I thought he came on against Wigan and played well. And back to the bad old Perez tonight. I don't know if you agree, Ben.
I don't know. I think, as you say, I think in the formation, it's a difficult position to play, I think, in this formation, in this team, because you don't really get any space. I mean, he seems to be trying to find a pocket of space in between the back four in the midfield, and it just doesn't exist because teams sit so deep. So I think, especially in this league, it's just a very difficult position to play. I think anyone that's played in there this season hasn't really looked brilliant, because as well, we're not the sort of team that are going to play a lot of balls into feet. So I find myself watching them just run it. They're running round, sort of just moving left to right, but never getting on the ball, and you just become a bit I don't know, just.
It just doesn't happen for him. It's like, I think he gets himself in good positions, and particularly towards the second half tonight, at the end of the second half tonight, he was collecting the ball, turning into space, running at the back four, which is what we like to see him doing, so fair play to him, and then either just passing the ball to them or just having all sorts of like untold mess. Si, because you're getting out soon, it didn't happen for Christian Atsu tonight.
No, I mean, yeah, I started the show quite harsh against him. I just don't think he has much end product. He's got some skill, he's got some flair and pace, but whenever he gets the byline or whenever he beats his man, you just want to see like a good pass or like a shot or something, and it very rarely happens. It's an overhead cross, it's a scuff against the first man. It's frustrating to see. Or rather, when Paul Dummett gets around him, he gives him a bit of a naff ball. It's just, there's a player in there, there's a skillful player. He's probably got a future, but I don't rate him. Nothing really ever comes off for him.
Is that some sort of veiled like death threat. I hope he's got a future.
No, Ben.
But I think just he like all he's got in his locker, unfortunately, is the cut in and smash up with his left foot.
We'll go left. We'll go left. We don't want to be in the works access.
Dad's need any help?
Because we can't provide it.
But it's just as I said, there was a lot of balls wasted tonight, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a couple of times where it's some really nice step overs and he skinned that him and Anita, particularly first half when they were first swapped flanks. I thought him and Anita linked up really well, and then Burton kind of worked them out a little bit.
I think he's still, as I said at the start of the podcast, he's probably a better option than Gouffran in a game like that, because he is direct and he did give their like defenders a sort of a handful every time he got on the ball, and he doesn't give them a minute. Like he's obviously constantly looking to run at them directly, so it sort of does tie them out, but just didn't happen tonight, unfortunately. And I think he's just as we've already said, he needs to be working on his delivery.
Yeah so I mean, fantastic win. We're kind of one little point about Burton is because they were so rigid in their formation, they kind of just let Shelby have the ball. They didn't close them down at all. What was quite funny is as soon as they went 1-0 down, they kind of started to try and mark Shelby out of the game, which was bizarre. And that Australian lad who played 10 for them, I thought looks an accomplished player.
How do you know he's Australian but don't know his name?
Because he's been banging them in, and I just know he's an Aussie. Because obviously they're shit at footy and he's not.
Tim Cahill?
Yeah, Tim Cahill's a shout. But you know what, 6 points. I said it in my True Faith preview, all I wanted was 6 points from these two games. No excuses, no shite refs, I did not predict that. But we just needed 6 points, and we've got 6 points, and we're 10 points clear with 6 games to go.
I haven't talked about the goal. It was a fucking brilliant
oh yeah,
goal.
Brilliant goal by Matt Ritchie. I talked about him a little bit before, mention it.
You're just asleep in the back probably.
Yeah, but yeah, brilliant. We've not seen it since, but absolutely brilliant goal from Matt Ritchie. So just dead happy. Sai's just left for and it's kind of me to say, you know, 6 points, I'm dead happy. Well done to the lads, well done to the manager, and the fans as well. Both games kind of stuck behind the team, you know, we'll whinge about that a lot. But yeah, so Ben, 6 points, good week as we're going to Chef Wed bouncing. I mean, we're massive. 6 points from promotion really, with 6 games to play. We're 6 from 90. We need 11 points to be mathematically promoted in 6 games, so it's happening, isn't it?
It is. I think as well, it's just obviously it was a big week, especially sort of all the talk all season has been about us not really hitting our straps, and like the teams behind were sort of going on all these runs and putting under a lot of pressure. Well, it's come to the crunched point, and you've seen Leeds and Huddersfield both drop points in the last couple of weeks against some very beatable teams, and it's just, I think it's, we deserve a lot of credit for the fact that we've had the same sort of like tough game. I mean, they're obviously against the bottom teams, but they're not easy. There's no easy games. They're always difficult because they've just got one plan, and it's just to frustrate. Plenty of teams have come and stuck against teams like that this season, so it was just good to see the professional job done and get the 6 points, as you said.
Yeah, well done everyone at Newcastle United for this. I think everyone listening will be as pleased as we are. A job well done before. Yeah,
don't sound too pleased.
No, I'm delighted. It's absolutely buzzing. I can't wait to see the highlights. I'm just still in shock about the penalty. It's just like it's a quiz question. It's like a what happened next on Question of Sport. Like what happened next? The referee forgot he was a referee. I don't know. It's one of them. You know when that stupid ref sent off two players against Forest, and I thought that's it. They'll not fuck with any more than this, and they have. So enjoy that, Sunderland fans, next season.
Yeah.
Batshit mental referees who just look to keep winning the division so they can get a game next year, according to Scott anyway. We will have a show for you. We'll probably do a longer show after Chef Wed on the Monday, so we can maybe digest this result a little bit more on the Chef Wed. Me and Ben will be down at Chef Wed, but we'll probably not do the show until Monday. We'll do a long one for you. Looking for a Leeds fan, if anyone knows a Leeds fan, to come on the show, that would be champion. Thanks to everyone who's leaving the positive reviews on iTunes. They're mint. Watch that, Fox. Fox, you say it. Fox on the road, people. Northeast of England. Come visit. now. I had a chat earlier with a Sheffield Wednesday fan who was excellent, so another 10 minutes after this for you to get stuck into. And as I said, we will be back for you Monday night, probably. Thanks for listening. So Robbie, good win, three points last night live on telly, and the banana skin in the local derby was managed to be avoided. Happy enough with the game last night?
Yeah, not really a spectacle, but 3 points is all that matters at this stage of the season. So yeah, we're good to see us have a bit of bottle for once. Been missing a bit in recent weeks, certainly against Barnsley, so nice to see us actually get 3 points this time. Yeah,
and obviously with Fulham getting beat, the momentum swung back in your favour. How has the season gone so far? After reaching the playoff final this season, did you maybe expect that you'd push on and be closer to the automatic spots this season, or was the playoffs always the aim?
I think a lot of Wednesday fans, myself included, were hoping we'd be about in the position Brighton are in, probably challenging you and Brighton for an automatic spot, but yeah, it's just not gone our way. I think we've had a bit of a hangover from Wembley, to be honest with you, and then we've not really adjusted well to teams widening up to us, and coming parking the bus sometimes at Hillsborough. They've done very well, to be fair. A lot of teams to cut off our players, so yeah, we found it a bit difficult, to be honest. But it's a weird one. We've just found out last night we've equaled last season's number of wins with 6 games to go. So it's one of them, isn't it? Depends on which way you look at it. We drew a lot of games last year, so felt like we weren't losing, but yeah, on the same amount of points or similar anyway.
Yeah, I've noticed that this season, certainly from the last time that we were here back in 2009-10. Number one, the quality of the teams is far better than it was then.
Yeah, it is.
And also the points totals are higher at all over the particularly the top of the division. I think we kind of, as the season's gone on, kind of from October time, there's only Reading back in 2005. Us in 2009-10 and Cardiff from a couple of years ago, or Leicester from a couple of years ago, who've bettered our points total, and yet we're still kind of not fully clear of the teams below. So the points total at the top of the league is definitely better. How do you see Sheffield Wednesday, or what do the fans think about Sheffield Wednesday's status as a club? Is it now very much like, you need to be in the Premier League like sooner rather than later, or is there a bit of understanding that it might take a couple of years to get there?
I don't know. If you look through the forums and Twitter, it's quite, you get a mixture of level-headed fans who appreciate we've been so bad for so long now. It's not going to happen overnight, but I think expectations after last season have just gone through the roof now. I think everyone's just desperate to get promoted, really. I think we can have a good go at it this time, unlike last time.
Yeah, and so presuming all goes well and you make the playoffs, would you fear anyone? I haven't played all the teams this season, your Leeds and Huddersfield and Reading. Would you back Sheffield Wednesday to get up amongst that lot?
If we got us players back, we've had a bit of unluck. We've just started to get the likes of Gary Hooper and Tom Leeds back, but still missing Kieran Lee, Sam Hutchinson and Fernando Forestieri at the minute, who are absolutely massive for us and the way that we play. I think if we had everyone back, I'd fancy us. Yeah, I think just the experience from last year would help us more than anything.
Yeah.
I think Leeds, Reading and Huddersfield are probably going to be in a similar situation to us, where we got there on the day, but I think we rode us luck a bit against Brighton in the semi-final, but Hull just did a superb job on us at Wembley. We just bossed the game, cut off Bannon and Forestieri, and they just wouldn't let us have a sniff, really.
Yeah, and in terms of how this season's gone, and you mentioned it a little bit compared to last season, would you be happy with kind of consolidation in the playoffs and not going up, or is there is there a financial need for the club to get promoted? Because obviously you've spent fairly big, in January with Jordan Rhodes. Was it Jordan Rhodes who went to you?
Yeah.
So is there a financial need to get promoted, or will you be able to give it a good go next year as well if you didn't?
I'm not sure, actually. No one's really thought of that. I don't think if we do stay down, will teams come in for our players, possibly. I think the majority of us, our first team squads under long term contracts, thankfully. It's one thing we've managed to do well. But they are, at the same time, they are big contracts. So obviously, the sooner we get up, the less we have to worry about financial fair play and all that type of stuff. Obviously, not having parachute payments affects us as well. So yeah, but I think we'd be okay. I think we'd be able to keep the core of the squad for next season if we had to. But yeah, the sooner the better, really.
What about the manager? A lot of people last summer were talking about him as a potential target for Premier League clubs. It hasn't happened. Is he still as popular as ever with the Sheffield Wednesday fans?
I think he is with the majority, to be fair, yeah. But like, I really like Carlos, but even I've started to wonder over the last few weeks whether he was going to take it up. We seem to keep making the same mistakes week in, week out. Seem a bit devoid of ideas when we get into the final third, but to be fair to him, he has been missing his best attacking players lately.
Yeah.
So it would make a big difference. Just seem to lack a bit of pace or a bit of that spark that Forestieri would give us, or if McManaman was up to speed yet, but he's not had much game time either yet.
And obviously the last time we met with you was this Boxing Day, December, when you won 1-0 at St James's. Was that a surprise to you, or did you see that one coming?
I actually said to my mate, actually, I saw that one coming and said, you've not really, Newcastle won't have played a side quite like us yet. We're not the best, like, by any means in the league, but we sometimes, Carlos gets his tactics spot on. He's managed to do it against Huddersfield. And he did a very good job, I thought, up at St James's Park. Hutchinson, I thought, was absolutely magnificent that day. The only problem, I think, with Carlos is he sometimes seems to overthink about what the opposition can do rather than what we can do. So it kind of stifles us a little bit. He seems to set up to nullify the opposition rather than going for it sometimes, which frustrates fans a bit.
Yeah, I thought he got his tactic spot on. To be honest, Newcastle aren't I wouldn't say we're not a bad team at home, but what we're away form is just, even as you know, someone who watches follows a team away from home, our away form is absolutely mental. Good, we've got the best away form in Great Britain apart from Celtic, but at home we're much easier to stop, because when teams do sit deep and press us, but up until the kind of halfway line. So they don't leave any space in behind, then we'll really struggle. But one of the things I remember about that game is how, you'll have to excuse me here, because fair play to them, but how dirty Sheff Wed were. How the referee, I mean, that day, I've got this stat etched in my memory. That day, you committed 23 fouls, and only think you got two bookings, which is mental. The maths doesn't make any sense. But like, if the referee, I think the Sheff Wed lads realised pretty early on, thought this ref's going to let we get away with a lot here. I'm going to get two or three. You know, any time any Castle player did beat a Sheffield player, found a bit of space, just pull him back, trip him up. You won't get booked. That really harmed us. That's not a criticism of Sheffield at all. You've got to do what you've got to do to win a game, particularly when you're away at a club like Newcastle. But how do you see the game going this weekend? I know we obviously play, at the time I'm speaking to you, we play tonight. You've already played, got your win and the belt. Do you give your lads much of a chance on Saturday?
I'm not sure. I think if we get a couple of players back, I think we'll get something from the game. But like you say, you away from home is a bit different. I fancied us to get something on Boxing Day because I thought we were just going to be the underdogs. It's probably more of a level. I still say you were favourites given our recent form, because we've been abysmal to watch lately. But yeah, I think I've got a feeling we could sneak a point. It just depends on starting lineup. Honestly, we could end up with, if we have no offence to him, but Jones or Semedo or someone starting, then I'd worry about his movement in midfield and his defensive midfield. But yeah, I think if we got Hutchinson back, might give us a bit more of a bit more strength. Cause I think he did so well at St James's Park to keep Diame quiet, really.
Yeah.
Because Diame absolutely killed us at Wembley for Hull.
So, yeah. Now, he's been very in and out for us this season, although he probably gets a bit of unfair criticism from Newcastle fans, in my opinion. You know, obviously this time you'll have Shelby to contend with when he was banned last time.
We're
kind of a different team with him in the side, certainly creativity-wise. But is there much of a buzz about this one? I mean, it's on the telly, so I'd imagine that would harm the attendance. Is it going to be a sellout, or is there, you know, people looking forward to the game?
think so, yeah. I think if we'd have beaten Barnsley as well, I think we'd be looking forward to it a hell of a lot more. But I think it's more of a worry at the minute. We just need points on the board with Fulham chasing us. Preston are coming up really quickly as well. But it's squeaky bum time. Leeds and Huddersfield have stuttered as well over the last couple of games. So I think everyone's just hoping to just get wins on the board no matter how. So yeah, we could end up fouling you again. I don't know. But some of the rest we've had at Hillsborough this season, I don't think we'll get away with it at all.
Right, yeah. Well, I hope so. Right, well, that's just about everything from us. Cheers, Robbie. Obviously, we hope you wish you all the best for the rest of the season. And, you know, if we are to be promoted, which is looking likely, I'd much rather a Chef Wed, even a Leeds came up than a Reading, you know, another massive southern-based, massive long journey club. And a Chef Wed always bring good support to St James's, which very few teams do in terms of numbers. So, yeah, all the best and thanks for your time.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you, mate. You too.